Pray with me. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to stand before your blessed people and speak your words. I pray that I decrease and you increase. Allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, I pray that as your word go forth, it's etched into our hearts and it's manifested into our lives. We are forever changed. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. And all God's people join me and say, amen. Amen. Today's sermon is titled, What's in Your Heart? And it's actually coming from the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. You know, as I was preparing for this, you know, on the way here, I got to thinking about how many of you have ever had to take small children and go and take a portrait to get your photos done? Right. So when you go and take the children, a lot of stuff happens, and it's kind of chaotic at times when you're trying to get them to do all the poses and do everything. But then when you get the picture, all the stuff that you went through, is not captured in the photo, right? And so I got to thinking, I was like, okay, so why am I even thinking about that? Because my son is, he's an adult. Why am I even thinking about that? And I got to thinking, a lot of times we go through so much stuff in life, and then we come in each other's midst, and all people see is the smile. And they don't know everything that we may be going through and how it has an impact on our lives. All they see is the picture perfect smile on the face Christian that's standing before them. But they don't know what you may be going through on the inside. So what's in your heart? News about the outbreak that started in China is changing rapidly. The respiratory infection, recently named COVID by the World Outreach Organization, is closely related to SARS and MERS. While the vast majority of the cases are in China, the disease has been diagnosed in more than 24 other countries, including the United States. More than 1,700 healthcare workers in China have been diagnosed with it, and at least 6 of them have died. Worldwide, the number of cases have passed 64,000, and the majority of them are in China, and about 1,383 people have died. In the U.S., I believe that there are about 15 cases that have been reported. There are hundreds of people under quarantine, and more than likely there will be additional cases in the coming days. There are certain words and terms that cause us to fear when they are said among us, words like plague, epidemic, and outbreak. These words create panic. Down through the years, these words have been used far too often, and the ramification of these words of words like those still are etched in the remembrance of history. In 1918, there was an outbreak. The nickname was the Spanish flu. It did not last long, and within 1 year, it had completely ran its course. However, it was believed that if this outbreak had not quickly found its demise, it would have had the capacity of claiming over a third of the Earth's population. But in 2009, this Spanish flu reemerged its ugly head once again, but with a different name. How many of you remember the H1N1? In 1981, the outbreak of an unknown origin affecting the people of Cameroon. It was an outbreak that had originated in the Congo in 1959. But due to the restrictions and difficulties of transportation at that time, it was not brought into main light until 1981. Fear and panic struck the people of Africa and the entire world as this plague quickly began to spread. this unknown virus, this plague, this outbreak, the one we now know and refer to as HIV and AIDS, quickly spread around the world, and it is believed to have impacted at least 35 million people's lives. Many of you know I used to work in this field, providing care for those infected and affected with this infection. It was my job to make sure that clients were able to get the best care possible. I acted as a liaison between my clients and their ID doctors, the infectious disease doctors, and the primary care physicians and pharmacies, social workers. I made sure that they were able to get housing and work with pharmaceutical companies and sometimes even their families. I will provide education pertaining to this infection. Did you know that when someone's immune system is compromised, they could run into the risk of acquiring an opportunistic infection? This is not true just for those with HIV, but with anyone who has a weakened immune system. OIs, we call them, or opportunistic infections, are caused by a variety of germs, viruses, bacteria, fungi, and parasites. Opportunistic infections causing germs spread in a variety of ways. For example, they can spread through the air or in bodily fluids or in contaminated water or food. If not caught and treated, OIs or opportunistic infections could lead to a lot of health issues or even death. But just like the infections can affect the health of our bodies, infections can also impact the health of our souls. Life can cut you wide and open. More dangerous than the cuts of life is the very real danger that spiritual bacteria will take advantage of the situation and turn a person's heart from God. When spiritual infection finds its way into one's life, it quickly begins to multiply inside unless it is addressed quickly and stopped. God has designed us Christians to supernaturally withstand most attacks by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. However, if one has undergone a difficult period and becomes fatigued, spiritually malnourished, or weak, that person's God-given immune system may become more susceptible to infection. Ultimately, if these destructive forces are allowed to propagate, they will gain strength and spread. Even though they may have initially been embraced as insignificant and later adopted as, that's just who I am. Persistent spiritual infections occur when one is unable to clear itself of the initial outbreak. This chronic condition may seem to go into remission, but if one hasn't truly dealt with the issue, it will only be a matter of time before the difficult condition cause the toxic poisons to be reactivated in a person's life. If this situation isn't dealt with properly, if the infection isn't eliminated, as soon as the person becomes evident within that person, the infection will simply go into sleep mode and will be certain to reawaken at a later time. This time of year, we know that it has been flu season, medically known as influenza. According to U.S. government census for disease control and prevention, the flu is a contagious respiratory illness caused by the influenza virus. It can cause mild to severe illness and at times lead to death. Somebody shout infection. No matter where you go, no matter where you sit, eat, walk, or run, they will find you. They search for the vulnerable. They probe for the weak. They hunt for the suitable host in which to thrive and multiply. You cannot hide from them because life happens to us all. Some people are infected and don't even know it. Others think it could never happen to me, but it can and it will because life happens to us all. Just as there are physical viruses such as Ebola, HIV, and SARS that plague humanity at every turn, spiritual viruses seek and plague the minds and the lives of all Christians. That's why I believe that God warns us and he tells us to be diligent. Somebody say diligent. In protecting ourselves against infections. He may not have said the very exact words, but when I looked at scripture in the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse, that's what I gathered from it. And I'd like to read that verse into your hearing, and I'll be reading it from the NIV version. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so, as I meditated and as I pondered upon that scripture, he was very specific and said, above all else, means that he wants you to take it seriously. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We know that our experiences in life, that things have happened to us in life, has a tendency to dictate how we respond to other things in our life. I believe that it was so important to God that he reiterates this to us in Matthew's, the 12th chapter, the 34th verse, Proverbs, the 10th chapter, the 11th verse, Psalms, the 14th, first verse, Proverbs, the 21st, second verse, Proverbs, the 24th, 12th verse, Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, the 21st verse. Ezekiel, the 16th, the 30th verse. And Luke, the 6th chapter, and the 45th verse. I know many of you are parents, and so you are very specific. When you reiterate something to your child, you're letting them know that you are serious about what you say. And I believe the same is true for us. God is serious about wanting us to guard our hearts because the issues of life flows from our hearts. What's in us has a tendency to come out. What is in us has a tendency to come out. What is in us has a tendency to come out. No matter how we dress it up, no matter how we smile, or no matter how we try to suppress it, what is really in us has a tendency to make its way out. It makes its way out in how we treat each other. It makes its way out in how we respond to God. It makes its way out in how we deal with the issues of life. I know many of us have driven down the road, and when somebody cut us off, what's in us has a tendency to come out. The things we allow into our hearts form our thoughts and our attitudes and ultimately shape the deepest part of our being. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You may not have had that problem, but some of us, we allow some things to come out of our mouth because it was already in us. Okay, I'm not talking about any of you. I'm just talking about me. And so I know that I need Jesus because I am a work in progress. See, the Bible says that everything we do flows from the heart. Everything that we do flows from the heart. That's why it's important to guard our hearts, to guard our thoughts. You know, the Bible tells us to renew our mind. Because a lot of things that we have been taught, a lot of things that we do have been ingrained and etched in us. But we have to renew our mind by the word of God. We should see things as God sees things. We should hear things as God hears things. We should respond as God responds. But a lot of times we don't, because what's in us has a tendency to come out. Well, I should say a lot of times I don't, because what's in me has a tendency to come out. You may not have that problem. You may have perfected your walk, but I'm still a work in progress. That's why it's important to guard our hearts, because if our hearts are infected, it affects everything else. Just as there are many physical viruses, we are at risk from a variety of spiritual viruses. Wrong attitude, wrong conduct, wrong use of speech, wrong teaching or hearsays. As the God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, says, Satan tries to use these major viral strains to poison our hearts and to destroy our lives and to impact our relationship with God. The devil consistently searches for ways to trip us up, to veer us off the path that leads us to the kingdom of God. He will do anything and everything to bring those things that were suppressed from our past to use them against us today. Throughout church history, many have failed to actively guard their hearts and their minds from the poisonous venom of the spiritual viruses of infection. And what was in them had a tendency to come out. You remember Noah? He saved a civilization, but he drank himself to sleep after the flood. Jacob, he battled insecurity and fear, expecting to reap the deceit that he had sown in his family. Moses had a temper, and he allowed past failures to traumatize him so badly that when God personally invited him to be the deliverer of his people from Egypt, Moses repeatedly turned to him and turned him down. Elijah and David, they battled extreme mood swings. Solomon, he dealt with depression, and many of the disciples were egomaniacs with a thirst for power. So we all experienced it. So there is nothing new to God. The Apostle Paul, he was tormented by something so significant that he refused to even talk about it. Remember, he said that there is a thorn in my flesh. 1 Peter 5 and 7 tells us to be alert, be sober-minded. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2 and 2, broadcast attitudes of bitterness, envy, jealousy, and self-righteousness to get us off track and to cut us off from God. Satan hunts for whomever is vulnerable, a suitable host. His goal is to infect your mind with wrong attitudes, thoughts, desires, and feelings. If he succeeds, his many spiritual viruses will incubate within one's heart, within the mind, and it will grow. If not addressed, this will lead to even more carnal attitudes. Sooner or later, the infected host will pass this sickness to whomever they come in contact with. The virus will then spread from one Christian to the next, infecting the body of Christ and weakening the church. So that's the reason why I believe that God says it's important for us to guard our thoughts. Because we pass off our beliefs, we pass off our attitudes and the way that we respond to one another. Infections come in various disguises, like gossiping, whispering, backbiters, starting rumors or innuendos, debates, and the will eventually manifest themselves in our words and actions. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Foul language, lies, false accusation. Have I came down your street yet? Along with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, hearsays, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalry, all works of the flesh. I didn't make that up. It came from Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21. Like the 24-hour flu, some physical viruses manifest themselves right away, but some, like HIV, may not show symptoms for several years. Likewise, some Christians are infected right now, at this very moment, but the symptoms are not clearly visible. They may not show for years, but watch out. They will. The infected will go off. Did I say that the infected will go off? Like spiritual homicide bombers, suddenly, without warning, destroying and maiming those around them. But the truth of the matter is, everyone at some point or another has had to deal with some type of infection. So then my question becomes, what infection are you suffering from? We should check our hearts a lot more often and ask God to show us ourselves. Because many times we can go through the motions and keep doing Christian things, but something has crept in our hearts and is hurting us and hurting others. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's the New Living Translation. Notice that it didn't say somebody else needs to guard your heart. It doesn't say that God will guard your heart. Your neighbor will guard your heart. Your pastor will guard your heart. It says that you need to guard your heart. You're in charge of guarding your own heart, realizing that it's pretty much a full-time job because we don't know on any given day what's going to come up and out. You don't know what somebody may say to you that may hurt you, disappoint you, let you down. Then suddenly there's a wound there that needs to be dealt with. And since you just don't know, you have to constantly be working with the Holy Spirit to keep your heart right. One of the biggest revelations I receive from God is that my real life is the inner me. What's in me comes out of me. There's nothing more important than your inner life, your soul, what's in your heart. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. One of the biggest revelations I receive from God is that my real life is that what is in me. The same goes for you. Life is not your circumstances. It's not things that happen around you, the kind of house that you live in, the kind of job that you have, or how much money you have in the bank. You can have the best of these things and still be miserable. On the other hand, it's amazing how happy and peaceful you can be in the middle of the lousiest of circumstances, including the turmoil that is going on in the outside world, if you keep your heart condition correct. Matthew 5 and 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I love that. Do you want to hear from God? Keep your heart pure. Do you want to know God's secrets? Keep your heart pure. Taking time to keep your heart pure is simpler, is similar to cleansing out your basement or your attic. Once you turn the light on and start looking around there, don't be surprised at the things that you find that you didn't expect. I have found that if I can capture my thoughts for God early in the morning through prayer and meditation upon His Word, that it's easier to protect my heart because what's in me has a tendency to come out. God in, God out. His word in, His word out. God's peace in, God's peace out. God's love in, God's love out. What is in you has a tendency to come out. So start your day with God. Love on Him as He loves on you. Because when His love fills our heart, it enables us to love Him back and to love each other and to get rid of the infection. Because He is the ultimate medicinal purpose. Amen? The Word of God for the people of God. Amen. I pray that message blessed you, because I was up to 3 o'clock this morning working on it and reworking on it and reworking on it. I was focusing on this all day yesterday for the most part. So I just pray that it ministered to you like it ministered to me, because God really wants us to see ourselves like He sees us. Amen. Amen. At this time, we ask that you prepare your hearts and your minds to give. We're going to ask that our ushers please come. But before they come, let me do this. Let me do this. And it's only going to take not long, so just breathe. let me do this. With all eyes closed and all hearts open, all eyes closed, all hearts open, all eyes closed, all hearts open, because this is between you and God. If you want God to work in your heart, there are some things that you're dealing with and you need Him to work in your heart, just put your hand up and put it back down. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we've listened to your message. You said that your word would never return unto you void. You've pricked our hearts. And you want us to examine areas of our life that needs to be guarded, needs to be changed, need to be dealt with. Lord, we know that life happens to us and sometimes it has a negative effect on us, but you are a positive God. We know that you are better than any penicillin or any antibiotic that the world may be able to prescribe. And only you can touch the intricate details of our hearts. So, Lord, we ask that you wash us, purify us in you, change our hearts, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If our ushers will please come.